fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Your friends don't play fantasy? LOL. What a bunch of nerds.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's time to make some trades. Welcome to the Wednesday show. I am Adam Azer. What's up, Dave Richard?
Good morning or afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening to
That's
me.
Right. Good call. Way to cover all the bases. Good morning, Jamie Eisenberg.
Good afternoon.
Sure, why not? And you know him as Heath Cummings. You can rearrange the letters of his name to call him Thug Mechanism. But we have a new nickname. It's Heath the Thief. What's up, Heath the Thief?
Heath the Thief.
I've been trying all morning to make a trade, and I think I need you to help one of our loyal listeners that's in the podcast league. Or maybe you already are, because he's making Adam Azer trade offers.
I've been getting some of those.
I'm calling him out on the podcast.
Okay, let's call him out.
Eric Rowe.
What are the offers?
I've been trying to turn Allen Robinson into a decent running back. The most recent offer was Lamar Miller, Tajay Sharp, and Jamison Crowder for Allen Robinson and Jamaal Charles.
You know, this is what I'm talking about. It's not just me. People make these bad trade offers all the time.
Right, but like, I'm sending you trade offers. Don't make that your counter. If you want to make that a starting point, but that's...
Yeah, I get you. But you're Heath the Thief because you stole Tajay Jr. and you got called out by Chris Ferguson, who came up with that originally.
Well, Chris, I'm glad that we both had the same idea. Great minds think alike. And I don't hold any ill will towards you.
Okay. Well, I am very excited for today's show because it's Wednesday and those are my favorite shows. Now, we did our waiver wires yesterday. I want to get ahead of the game and start thinking about next Tuesday's show and who is going to be this or next week's Jordan Howard. Who is going to be the must-add guy?
I got the name.
You got it?
Got it.
Okay, who?
Wendell or Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah, he was one of the guys I thought about too. He's 11% owned, Wendell Smallwood. Why do you feel that way? You don't think Matthews is back next week?
I think he stinks. I don't know if he's back or not, but I think this coaching staff is going to take a look at what he did against Pittsburgh, and they're going to have this time during the bye week, and they're going to say, you know what? Let's give this guy more of a chance. He was quick. He could run inside. He can run outside. And I think they might use him as a spark plug in that offense. And if he can do everything that Sproles can do and Ryan Matthews can do, why not just roll with him?
Your theory is right, but it won't happen because just in terms of him being the most added guy, because he's not going to play. And so there's going to be something that happens over the weekend that does, you know, the only way that happens is if the Eagles come out and say Matthews is hurt and not playing in week 5.
I'm just talking about a guy I want to stash.
I'm telling you what you're saying is 100% correct and people should go get Smallwood. But in terms of who's the Jordan Howard, it's not going to be Smallwood because it would have happened this week.
I'm frankly disappointed in you. There was only one answer for you to give to that
Kenneth
question.
Dixon.
It's Kenneth Dixon. Kenneth Dixon.
But he is also hurt and isn't guaranteed to play in the next couple of weeks.
But there's a better chance of him practicing some point this week and some point next week.
Maybe.
I just had a trade offer accepted. Sorry.
Congratulations. Breaking news.
I gasped.
I saw it on my phone. So what's the trade?
I don't know yet. I made like
what kind of a newsman are you?
This is kind of nerve wracking because I made like 16.
Oh, the guy
you
just called out, you made a trade with.
He accepted,
was a pretty good guy, right?
Well, I don't know if it was the same guy.
It's because we called him out. Good for us.
He has accepted my trade offer.
Okay, what is it?
You gave up a lot.
Yeah, this is what's that?
You gave up a lot.
I traded Allen Robinson,
mm-hmm.
Terrence West.
Yeah.
And Martellus Bennett?
No.
Wow, so Allen Robinson.
What?
You traded Robinson, Terrence West, and Jamaal Charles.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And wow. You traded Jamaal Charles?
I did, apparently.
And you got Jordan Matthews, Tajay Sharp, and DeMarco Murray.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, God, no.
I don't know if you won that one.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
This is a great moment in podcast history because that that was not the trade offer that I thought I sent.
Oh God! Oh man! No, what?
Cummings right now.
Wow, you got A's so badly on that trade.
I A'd the trade.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Now that I think about it, it might be okay.
Go ahead. Cover yourself.
Let's recap it or say it again, please.
Well, it looks like I gave up Allen Robinson, Terrence West, and Jamal Charles. And I got DeMarco Murray, fantastic running back. Jordan Matthews, breakout candidate. And buy low extraordinaire Tajay Sharpe.
Okay. I like your spin.
That is not.
So you go from Heath to Thief to Laundry because you're spinning like crazy.
That is not the trade offer that I thought that I sent, but I'm going to spin it as if it's the trade offer I wanted.
Good for you. Heath,
you're talking to the commissioner.
No, I'm sorry, buddy. You're on your own.
I would never. Adam would absolutely reverse that.
I would not reverse that trade.
I've seen Adam reverse trades from people say they clicked the wrong button.
That's not true.
No, absolutely. But I would never do that.
Want to get away?
So, hey, listen, speaking of DeMarco Murray, he is the number two running back in standard, number one in PPR. Pretty soon I'm going to ask you who your
just
top
five. Just traded for the best running back of football.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to ask you for your top five picks if we were drafting today. We're going to talk about that. We're going to preview the Thursday night game, Miami at Cincinnati. We're going to do some buy low and sell high candidates from all of us. We're going to look at last week's Worryometer and see if these guys are back in the clear and read a lot of emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I. And we've got some grade the trade toward the end of the show. But how about the buy high candidates? Now, this is an interesting category. These are guys that my interpretation is maybe people aren't buying them and they think they're sell high candidates, but maybe they're actually legit and they're actually buy high candidates.
I've got one for you.
Who?
DeMarco Murray.
He was on my list. Like, well, but I'm serious here. I mean, I don't see a reason why DeMarco Murray can't be better than Jamal Charles going forward. What do you guys think about Murray? Is he a legit buy high candidate who's going to give you first or second round value going forward?
This is a team that loves to lean on him. Their whole offense has revolved around him, and he's rewarded them. He's been productive. You can't argue with how he's looked or what his numbers have been. Can it continue? Here's the problem. And Heath and I had a conversation about the Titans offense off air before we started. We'll bring it on air because apparently that's what we're doing on today's show, is just taking Heath's life and bringing it live on the air as it happens. Eventually, they've got to try throwing the ball like they did in the last 2 minutes of their loss last week against Oakland. Does that mean that it minimizes DeMarco Murray?
No, he's catching all the passes, too.
Because he's catching a ton of checkdowns.
He's got 17 catches in three games.
He's got to lead the team in receptions at this point.
Here's the other thing. You want to hear DeMarco Murray's next nine games?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Good schedule.
At Houston, who's going to suck defensively now because they don't have J.J. Watt.
They're not going to suck.
At Miami, who already sucks.
Yes.
Cleveland at home.
Yeah.
The Colts at home. The Jags at home.
And that's on a short week, so that'll help him.
At San Diego. Then the Packers. Great. Then at the Colts, at the Bears.
And then a bye.
Whew. Like, I don't know
I
how
just
he's...
worry about him staying healthy.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy, I don't know how he's not a top
and
five.
And now is the great time to go and get Derrick Henry, too, because his value is in the tank, because all he's getting is 4 fantasy points per week.
I'll see if I can trade Odell Beckham for him.
No, but look, I think it's it seems pretty legit to me, guys, that DeMarco Murray, if he stays healthy, is going to have a good year. Can we agree on that?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is not a Matt Forte situation. He's, you know, I love that he's so involved in the passing game and whatnot. And not to totally dump on Forte, but you know what I'm saying. All right.
No, as the non Murray guy coming into the year, he has been impressive beyond belief.
Okay. Couple other guys. Actually, I have three more, but Marvin Jones and Matthew Stafford. Jones is the number one wide receiver in fantasy in both standard and PPR. Stafford is the number three quarterback in fantasy with 31, 17, and 32 fantasy points in three games. So far, Stafford has thrown the sixth most passes in the NFL. They also have a really good schedule going forward. Marvin Jones, Matthew Stafford, are they sell high candidates or buy high candidates in your opinion?
I just sold him high in
Which
our
one?
Podcast league. Marvin Jones.
Oh, good trade. By the way,
I made a trade last night. I traded Marvin Jones, Charles Sims, and Rashad Jennings for Ezekiel Elliott and Sterling Shepard. Mm-hmm. I originally offered, that was the counter offer. I originally offered Amari Cooper instead of Marvin Jones. And Josh, I believe is his name, countered back with asking for Marvin Jones. And he even said in the note to me, so I know he's the number one receiver now. I don't expect it to continue, but I'd rather have him. I think we're his words. So
over Cooper?
Over Cooper.
I'd say if that's the case, then he is a sell high candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're just looking at it as he had one monster game and two very good ones, or, you know, two moderately good ones. I don't want to use the name, but he's been Calvin Johnson for the Lions. You know, he's just in terms of three games worth of, combined stats. You know, you would say that that's Calvin-esque type number. So he's done what they hoped he would do, which is step in and be their number one guy. But it's just not realistic for him to be putting up what his averages are over three games consistently for the course of the season. So yeah, he's a sell high guy.
Yeah, but he's not a sell high guy that we expect to be bad going forward or anything.
No, I wasn't trading him to unload him. I was trying to make my roster as a whole better. You know, so what I did was, you know, get rid of Sims and Rashad Jennings as my number two running back and replace it with Ezekiel Elliott and still get a capable third receiver in Sterling Shepard. So I think if you're trying to sell him, you need to sell him to a point where it's beneficial to you, because I think he's still very sustainable in terms of his production. Not this level, but
yeah,
starting caliber production.
So would you rather have Alshon Jeffrey or Marvin Jones going forward, guys?
Alshon
Jones.
I think I'd rather have Jones. It's close, because you have the, you know, he's just continuing to battle injury after injury after injury for Jeffrey, and you know, I know this was Dave knocking him coming into the year. At what point does it knock him out for a couple games? And you've just lost Cutler, and you saw the first game with Hoyer, it wasn't great. So I think Jones has the higher ceiling moving forward.
Looks like the Bengals may have botched this one. It's rare that a number two receiver becomes a number one receiver and gets better. And he looks like a pretty darn good player. We're kind of seeing the unleashed Marvin Jones.
Well, it's also situational.
He wouldn't be doing this in Cincinnati.
But he could have been. I mean,
no, he got a quarterback upgrade.
He got a quarterback upgrade, he got a role upgrade, and he got a offense upgrade.
Well, they shouldn't have let him go then. I mean,
they can't afford to pay what they need to pay two receivers that were going to command that price tag.
You can't pay Marvin Jones what he's making in Detroit to do what he would have done.
But you don't think? I don't remember it being a huge contract, was it? I honestly don't remember.
I remember it being pretty substantial.
Well, he was the highest paid receiver this offseason, I believe.
It wasn't big enough,
huh?
It wasn't big enough.
I mean, kudos to the Bengals for not being the Jaguars, where they pay the number two guy more than he deserves. Allen Hurns didn't deserve that contract.
All right, and how about Larry Fitzgerald? Is he still a buy?
He has $20 million guaranteed, Adam.
Okay, I was wrong. I didn't remember. Larry Fitzgerald is my last guy in the buy high category here. Is he, you know, coming off a bad game, but they all were. Is he legit? Do you think? I mean, right now he's the number five wide receiver in fantasy. Nobody's ranking him there, but top 15, Larry Fitzgerald?
I think Michael Floyd is this bad, then yeah, he's there.
I would expect top 15.
Yes, I would too. Especially in PPR, because he's getting all the targets.
The only thing is again, there's a sample size from a year ago of him getting off to a great start when other guys weren't right, and then he tailed off. So if the other guys can't get right, he'll be fine. If the other guys get right, then he'll tail off.
All righty. So your top five picks, if we were drafting today, let's do a top five here. Half-point PPR, because that's what I like to do. Who would be your top five? I will start with Heath Cummings. Go!
DeMarco Murray, Jordan Matthews, Antonio Brown. Be number one still. I'd take David Johnson number two. I think I'd take Zeke number three.
What? Over Le'Veon Bell?
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Are we drafting today for the rest of the season?
Yes, yeah.
Le'Veon's not missing any games. Okay, no. I'm sorry. Le'Veon can go first, can go second. David Johnson third, Zeke fourth, and AJ Green fifth.
So Brown, Bell, Johnson, Elliott, AJ Green?
Yes.
All right, Jamie, or let's go to Dave. Dave?
Ah, well, thank you. Antonio Brown, number one.
Uh-huh.
David Johnson, number two. And then I'd go receivers. Julio, Odell, and AJ Green.
Over Le'Veon?
Over Le'Veon.
Okay, interesting. Jamie, go for it.
I don't remember what I sent you, so tell me.
Okay, hang on, please.
I don't think you actually had to send him anything.
No, but I told him I'd forget.
Jamie said Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, AJ Green, and then he put Jones, and I'm guessing that's Marvin Jones over Julio
Jones.
Yes,
100% Marvin.
Wow, Marvin Jones makes first round.
Yeah, sell high, buy high.
All right, so everybody has Brown number one, as I would as well. Jamie has Bell two, and Heath. Wait, no, Heath had Bell two, right?
Yep.
Okay, I forgot who's.
So did Jamie.
Yeah, right. Jamie and Heath both have brown bell.
I think we should have emailed these to you. And maybe. You could have like compiled a report.
Well, I wrote it down. Brown Bell Johnson is top three for Jamie and Heath. Okay. And then AJ Green 4, Julio Jones 5 for Jamie, Ezekiel Elliott 4, AJ Green 5 for Heath. And then Dave with Brown, David Johnson, Julio, Odell, and Beckham. Dave, no Le'Veon Bell in your top five?
Weren't we just here like a minute ago? Yeah, no Le'Veon Bell in my top five.
I know, but now I'm making you explain it.
Well, it's just like Dave said all preseason, running backs aren't that important anymore.
They're important, and he would be a first-round pick for me. But I don't think he's a slam dunk to the last... How many games do we have left? 13? I don't think he's a slam dunk to the last 13 games. I still think we have the best of Odell and Julio to come. And, it's really about it for me.
The difficult part for me was AJ Green or Julio. I don't know that I, like, Beckham's still clearly a top 7 or 8 receiver. I don't know if I put him in the Julio, Antonio Brown, and AJ Green.
He belongs there. There's no way he, just
like,
because
talent wise
he
is.
I think you guys are crazy.
Who? Beckham.
But he's not in the same category as Julio and Green, so he said?
And Antonio. Just because of the situation's changed.
He has been so close. I mean, yes, I know I keep going to this, but he's been so close to scoring touchdowns, and God, he absolutely dominated Josh Gordon last week.
Or I
Josh
hope so.
Norman. Josh Gordon
Josh
can't
Norman.
Even play yet.
Yeah, Josh Norman last week, and I don't know. I mean, AJ Green's had two bad games, or two disappointing games at least. I was surprised that AJ Green ahead of Julio and Beckham. Julio, I kind of get because of the ankle, at least you know for Heath.
Well, I mean. Obviously, I was the high man on AJ Green. I put them all together. So, right. You know, the way I viewed it coming in was there were four guys that were going to have big seasons. And we really haven't seen it from any of them consistently yet, to be fair. So you got the one ugly matchup out of the way for AJ Green with the Broncos. I think the best for him is yet to come. I think, as he said, circumstances with Beckham just kind of knock him down a little bit. It's not like he's, if I had to, you know, go 6 through 10, he'd be, you know, probably 7. Julio would be 6, he'd be 7. So I think there's still a lot to like about him. It's just a matter of, you know, nitpicking when you're talking about these guys at the top.
Well, AJ Green and Odell Beckham aren't that far apart talent-wise. And
Yes, they are.
Green is now in Beckham's situation from last year, where he's the only good receiver on the team, and he's going to get fed targets.
Yeah, that is true.
You think they're apart talent-wise?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Absolutely. I think Green is very good, but he drops passes and he's just not.
Why did Odell Beckham almost score a touchdown?
Yeah, I don't really understand that, Adam.
You don't think Odell Beckham is a better receiver than AJ Green?
No.
Oh my gosh. I don't even think it's close. I think Beckham is the.
Well, so far you gave one example of drop passes, and that's been.
They're both.
Effective. I mean, come on, use your eyes. He's so much more explosive. He's just better. He's the best. I mean, he might be the best receiver. Antonio Brown is the best receiver. And then after that is probably Beckham. Maybe Julio, but I just. Look, all the love for AJ Green. He has never had that huge season. DeAndre Hopkins is a better wide receiver than AJ Green.
Oof.
He doesn't catch, he doesn't drop anything. He's got the best hands.
AJ Green sucks, Adam.
No, AJ Green is very good, but he is not Odell Beckham.
The bottom line is that we should talk about this for fantasy. And
yes.
AJ
no,
Green gets plenty of great numbers for fantasy football owners.
But never what Beckham has done.
Right, but this is his chance to have the Beckham season because as he just told you, this is the first time where he's the only show in town.
Yeah.
And no, so we'll see how it goes.
Nobody said Rob Gronkowski. I could make a case for that.
Go ahead. Because.
You know what it is. I mean,
silly stuff.
He's so much better than every other tight end, and tight ends kind of annoying. You know, you don't know who's going to score a touchdown every week. You could look at the waiver wire and see Dennis Pitta and see Jacob Tammy and think, oh, I'm going to pick up somebody good, and then they can have a total dud. Gronkowski's one of the most consistent players in fantasy, and I think you know, this week could be tough, but once Brady gets back in week five, he's going to be Gronk. So I think there's a case for him to be a top five pick.
Well, you made the case for him to be the number one tight end, and I think everybody in the room will agree with you. But to be in the top five, I don't think you can make the case for it at this point. Obviously, the best is left to, the best is yet to come, not left to come. What the hell am I saying?
Both.
I'm making crazy Jamal Charles trades in my head over here. I think Gronk is not even worth a first round pick. If we did a redraft for the rest of the season, I bet he'd be a second round pick. And I bet he'd be
Wow.
Like,
he was a second round pick in half the leagues anyway.
Yeah, but. I think that was because of the Brady suspension. Not
yeah, of course.
Right. This is worse.
No, I don't think it's worse.
What do you mean it's worse? Injured. He's not even playing.
If you're drafting, well, he is playing. He played last week. If you're drafting from this point forward,
quote unquote playing.
Right. I'm drafting from this point forward. Exactly.
He went on the field in a uniform with a helmet.
He couldn't possibly be a second round pick going forward.
I wouldn't take him.
What do you mean he couldn't possibly? He wasn't half the leagues anyway.
How could Rob Gronkowski be a second? Would you have taken Rob Gronkowski in the second round if Tom Brady were not facing a 4-game suspension?
I don't think the public would have.
No, of course not.
Because he was by average opposition still a first round pick.
I mean, would you rather have DeAndre Hopkins or Rob Gronkowski?
Hopkins.
I'd rather have Hopkins, but I still think Gronk is he's not a top five worthy.
I don't think.
I don't think so either. I was just making a case.
He's first round worthy because you know if you, again you're taking it from this point forward, and so you start to compare him to guys that were drafted in the first round and guys that now deserve to be drafted in the first round. So would you take Jamaal Charles in the first round now, Keith? I'll ask you that. Would you?
No, he sucks. I traded him away. Get him off my team.
But seriously,
I think he'd be right there at the end.
But
of the
first. He's in the conversation.
Yeah.
So
Lamar Miller is. Right on that line.
Oh,
right.
I take Gronk.
You're starting to see, you know, a comparison of guys that went in the first round versus guys that could be in the first round. And so I still think Gronk is in the conversation.
Yeah. I don't think he's top five, just to clarify. I bring things up for the sake of bringing them up and having a discussion, not to make that, you know, my argument. But I'm surprised that you guys that some of you wouldn't take Rob Gronkowski in the first round when he would have been, in my opinion, basically a consensus first-round pick if Brady weren't suspended.
Sure. From this point forward, he would go in the first round.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Based on average opposition. If we did a draft right now, he'd go in the first round.
All right, your news and notes.
And I can look. Go, you talk. I'll look because Fantasy Pros does a rest of season rankings. So I'll tell you where – we don't do that, but I'll tell you where the industry has them.
Okay. Injuries, news, and notes. J.J. Watt going on IR due to a back injury. Houston currently the number 8 DST. And Watt hasn't really been great this year. They've given up 14 points to the Bears, 12 points to Kansas City, and they lost 27-0 at New England. But I mean, is this Texans defense rather? Is this just a streaming DST at this point?
I think they are if they prove that they're worse without Watt.
I think they're okay this week.
They're going to be worse without Watt. I mean, there's no way they're as good.
I don't think they had Watt at 100% for much of the
year. Yeah, but he still draws like one game. Doesn't matter. You watch it on film. He's been drawing double teams all along. Still.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's putting a ton of pressure on Jadeveon Clowney now. It's putting a ton of pressure on
Merciless.
Yeah. So it's going to be tough for those guys to be as good as they could be. But I would just take it week by week. For this week, they're not a top five DSD. You could argue that some of the streaming options might be better, but Mariota's been turnover prone. And so if they can get ahead against Tennessee and force them out of their game plan, that's bad for Tennessee's offense. So
it's a big bump up for Murray, too, I think, this week.
Murray should be great. I mean, I like Murray regardless because what he's been doing in the passing game is, you know, going to be fine. But they're not the same DST without J.J. Watt. Adam, just to answer your – or go back to the
– Yeah.
You would lose in this regard. He's 15th.
Well, then, honestly, then I think he's a great buy low candidate because it doesn't make any sense to me.
You want me to run down the guys ahead of him?
Sure.
So it's Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones. Now, again, this probably takes into account our rankings because they haven't moved. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, David Johnson 4, Le'Veon 5, Gurley 6, Zeke 7, AJ Green 8, DeAndre Hopkins 9, Lamar Miller 10, Allen Robinson 11, Mike Evans 12.
Yeah, that's where he fits into me. Like 10, 11, 12. That's where I'm looking at Gronk.
He's still behind LeSean McCoy. I would take him over McCoy at this point. He's behind CJ Anderson. I would take Anderson over him at this point.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's tough to pass up running backs at this point. Makes sense to me. I could even see taking DeMarco Murray over Rob Gronkowski. You know. Anyway, Chicago signed Hoodie Bell. Got a nice autocorrect there. Don't get a lot of autocorrects in football, but more of a baseball thing, but Hoodie Bell, that's Droik Bell. So the Bears signed Droik Bell. I'm guessing we don't care.
Revenge game.
That's true.
It will be interesting, though, if in the next month Jordan Howard gets hurt, what they do, and Kadeem Carey's not back.
Mm. Now,
so your must-add for next week, Dave, will be Droik Bell.
No, he won't.
Droik's on you, Dave.
I mean, look, the fact that the Lions didn't sign Droik Bell last week should tell you something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo both practiced, and Garoppolo was available on waivers in a lot of my leagues. I did not pick him up, but he could be a decent option if he plays right against the Bills.
Sure, a bad shoulder. Nothing wrong with that.
I'd rather have Simeon.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. You know who I picked up in, I think, two leagues? Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely.
Yes. Good week for him.
Top 10 quarterback for all three of us, isn't he?
He is for me.
Okay. Got the Browns this week. Washington's got their center on IR. They signed John Sullivan. They got their offensive guard banged up, too. So the Redskins' O-line is banged up. Mike Tomlin says you're going to see a lot of Le'Veon Bell on Sunday. Matt Ryan and Mohamed Sanu are expected to play. Sammy Watkins, no structural issues, according to NFL.com. His issue right now is pain tolerance. Eli Rogers seems unlikely to play this week due to turf toe. Tyler Eifert, not expected to play this week. He's 78% owned. Dallas guard Lael Collins, he has not been put on IR yet. He's waiting a couple of weeks to determine if he needs probably season-ending toe surgery. So do you expect the following players? Chris Ivory against the Colts in London.
Yes.
Yeah, you do? Okay.
I'm not going to start him, but sure, let's expect him to play.
Michael Floyd against the Rams.
As of now, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm really getting close to saying no, but it'll be a still 2-1 split, so he'll still be in. But
How come?
He just went back into the concussion protocol on Monday after returning on Sunday because he woke up on Monday with headaches.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that was the first time he was in the protocol.
Well, okay, yes. He should have been when he got the concussion
in
the game.
He should have come out of the game.
Right.
And so it's funny. I do like the narrative now that I think it was the Arizona Republic that he was running wrong routes and was the cause of Carson Palmer's last interception.
Yeah.
He probably did not know where he was.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's
like, right, but then he shouldn't be on the field.
Of course.
Now, I will say that last night, Arian said he's cleared for non-contact. So that's a positive.
Okay. That's Michael Floyd.
You do think, though, that of all teams dealing with a receiver with a concussion, they should be the most cautious.
And you saw how they were with John Brown.
That's my point, is that they should be very cautious because they don't want to have John Brown groggy for a month and a half.
So, I mean, we're not starting him over Devontae Parker, though.
I don't think you can.
No.
Yeah.
Right. That's a Thursday night game. You expect Rashad Jennings at Minnesota Monday night?
Not yet. Let's see if he practices this week.
Antonio Gates?
No.
Delanie Walker?
Not yet.
Hopefully.
But right.
Sammy Watkins?
Same. He's gonna try and test out his foot today or tomorrow. So we'll see.
Does it just come down to whether somebody steps on it on practice on Friday?
That's what happened to him last week. Yeah, very, very annoying.
Just sit him down for a couple weeks. Get him right.
And Arian Foster?
Nope.
No.
Didn't practice on Monday.
They'll rule him out today.
Yeah.
You guys think I'm crazy for thinking Beckham is a lot better than, not a lot better, but better than AJ Green?
No.
Yeah, no.
You said a lot better.
Right. You made it seem as if there's a huge disparity between the two.
It's not even close where you're exactly.
I actually don't think it's close. I think he is a lot better. Yeah. Well, look, okay, I'm not going to back off. I'm not going
to
back off on
no,
that.
No, you're entitled to think that, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with you. I just don't think it's a fair judgment because their circumstances are so different.
And I want to be clear. I think Odell Beckham is slightly better than AJ Green. I just think they're in the same category.
Yeah.
And again, this was not a fantasy argument.
So no, I think people understand what you're saying.
Your point's a fantasy argument.
hey, Dave and I were talking yesterday. Dave, you're getting pretty pumped up for Miami, Florida State next week, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how all of a sudden the Hurricanes are good again, and here I am. Let's go. Let's go play against Florida State. Wait, what, you mean we're undefeated after three games? Of course I'm a Canes fan. Yeah, I got all my Canes gear out and everything.
Big Cane won.
Yeah, Big Cane won. And you're going to need some tickets, my man, so get on SeatGeek. Dave's going to be smart enough to use SeatGeek. He's already done it. He went to a Hurricanes game, I don't know, was it earlier this year or last year? But I know you use SeatGeek.
I did.
A basketball game, right?
Right. I used the offer code FFT. They gave me $20 back after the purchase. I can't use it again because I've already done it once.
Right.
But anybody else who goes to get tickets can use that code FFT, and then they get $20 back after the first SeatGeek purchase.
Right. And the other point is, it's not just, don't use SeatGeek only to get the $20 back. You're going to use it again afterwards because you're going to find out when you look for your events on SeatGeek, you're going to get multiple ticket sites. You're going to get better results. You're going to get better prices. I looked this morning at Miami, Florida State, just curious. At least five different sources pulling in tickets. You see these green dots for the event. The greener the dot, the better the value. The green dots represent the tickets, and the greener the dot, the better the value. It's a really cool feature. So immediately you see, here's my best bargain. Here's where I get the most bang for my buck. So use SeatGeek, everybody. Get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the app and enter our promo code FFT. That's FFT, as in fantasy football today. This will be the only app that you use for seats, for concerts, for games. SeatGeek. Get it and use that promo code FFT. Let's look at the Bengals and the Dolphins.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Ryan Tannehill. Dave, you have him 15th. Jamie and Heath have Tannehill 24th. All right, make your case, Dave Richard.
I think this is the only guy that can put points on the board for Miami. I don't think they're going to get shut out. We don't know what Drake or Patrick's status is for Cincinnati. And even if he plays, quarterbacks have been putting up some numbers against him. I don't love Tannehill as a top 12 guy, but if I'm struggling, need a bye week replacement, Tannehill is who I'm putting in there.
I do have
Brian Hoyer ranked ahead of him, so Brian Hoyer is probably going to be the guy I'll recommend. But I think Tannehill can be okay.
Yeah, now that the Bengals have given up the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks, Fitzpatrick, Roethlisberger, and Simeon so far. Tannehill has thrown for 387 and 319 yards in his last two games. So Heath, Jamie, what is it that you don't like about Tannehill this week?
Short week, Burfict's back, and I think Dolphins and the Bengals are going to be one-dimensional. So that'll allow the Bengals to come after him. His offensive line is banged up. Brandon Albert's dealing with an injury, may not play. And so that's going to allow Carlos Dunlap to get after Tannehill. I don't see the garbage time production like we saw 2 weeks ago, and I definitely don't see the matchup like we saw last week against the Browns happening. So I would be really hesitant to start him even in a two-quarterback league this week.
Angry Bengals defense getting Burfict back. This is going to be ugly.
Okay, then let's talk about the running backs. I looked at all 11 games that the Bengals played last year with Vontaze Burfict, including the postseason. The Steelers running backs were pretty much the only ones to do well. So did C.J. Anderson in 11 games. They allowed 5 rushing touchdowns. One of them was to Tavon Austin. And D'Angelo Williams, his 76 rushing yards were the most allowed by the Bengals in those 11 games. There were a lot of 30, 40-yard games in there. They were excellent against the run. But this is a Thursday. So, you know, assuming Arian Foster's out, if there are desperate fantasy owners, can they look into the Dolphins' backfield for help?
Can you combine all 4 guys into one and get their production?
I don't think so.
It's you're playing roulette.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to start one, I would start Drake just because he's the one guy that has a chance to. I mean, there's a breakdown and they happen to break a 40-yard run. But I don't want to start.
You can't count on that.
No, at all. Not at all.
Flex at best.
Okay. So like a Cameron Artis Payne over him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about a Giovanni Bernard over Kenyon Drake? Would you do that?
Yes.
In both formats?
Yes.
All right, Dolphins receivers. Landry, how could you sit Landry, right?
Must start in PPR.
Okay.
He's a little banged up. So
he is.
Just double check to make sure that he's not on the injury report today. And if he is, then you got to double check to make sure he's active.
Oh, he'll be on the injury report. He was on the injury report.
That's questionable, but then you just got to make sure that he's active.
You just got to hope Burfict doesn't knock him out.
I can't imagine him with his flair for the dramatic, which he doesn't get a chance to show very often, that he's going to miss a primetime game if he's not, you know, completely hobbled.
How about Parker and Stills? How do you feel about Devontae Parker and Kenny Stills?
We're not at a bye week or injury riddled situation enough that you have to trust Stills. So he's just kind of a scout stash candidate.
Okay.
But Parker, I think, is in the third receiver conversation.
I agree.
He's been very good, you know, basically every time he's played, but this is going to be a tough matchup for him. So I think this is going to be one of those 6-8 type of games, not a double digit game. I don't think he scores this week.
Your hope. I mean, that's really probably the only way that he's worth starting is if he scores this week.
Want to hear a weird stat? Gase has played against Marvin Lewis twice. He's called plays against Marvin Lewis's defense twice. In both games, the number 2 receiver had multiple touchdowns and like at least 70 yards on top of it. Now, I'm not calling for Devontae Parker to have 70 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but that was what, Decker?
Decker did it once, and that was obviously, I think both were with Peyton, so obviously that's got
probably Sanders was the other one.
Sanders was the other one. But I bet there's something there that Gase can lean on based on just the coverage and the attention that could be paid. And again,
there's a different type of number one in this scenario than there is in
right.
those games.
And Adam Jones will be on him. And
if to be no quite
Drake
honest,
or Patrick,
Dave,
I don't know if there's a corner that can roll with Parker.
Who is Emmanuel Sanders? Who is Eric Decker on the Dolphins? It's Jarvis Landry, right?
In terms of role, yes.
Yeah, in terms of role,
right?
But not in terms of targets.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's if you're talking about X.
Look, I'm just
Z.
saying. I
know it's
he's
interesting.
A number 3 receiver, but it was just something interesting
it's
that caught my eye and it made me move Devontae Parker into the number 3 receiver.
And if you would go by targets, though, that would be Stills.
Because he has more targets.
He's been the number 2 guy.
So So maybe it's Stills who gets 70 yards and two touchdowns.
Has Stills gotten – he hasn't gotten as many targets as Parker since Parker's been back.
He had more targets than him last week.
Okay. So Parker had more in the first week.
And Parker's just doing
– Right. In the garbage time game against the Patriots, Parker had more.
Good.
All right. Now let's go over to Andy Dalton. Dalton, 12th for Heath. Dave and Jamie have him about 17th or 16th. What do you think, Heath? Make the case for Andy Dalton.
It's a really bad week for quarterbacks. I mean, I think the difference between 12, 16, and 17 this week is pretty minimal. But I've always been the highest guy on Andy Dalton, and I don't think the Dolphins are a very good defense at all. I kind of like Gio Bernard in the passing game, as bad as Miami has been at covering the middle of the field. Because there's not a tight end. If Tyler Eifert was there, he might be the number one tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I moved him up. I think we're having a little issue with our ranking, so I don't know what you're saying. He's 14th for me. If this was a day game, he'd be top 10.
Oh, right. You're talking about Dalton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the night factor for him. I mean,
it's also the Thursday night factor. He's only been above 20 fantasy points once in four career Thursday games, and it was against Cleveland last year.
Yeah, this situation is completely different with him. The thing that makes me nervous about Dalton is this is should be a Jeremy Hill game.
Exactly. Right.
He should just completely dominate this defense.
Yeah, you've got to be loaded at running back to sit Jeremy Hill. He's a top 12 running back this week. And Giovanni Bernard, you don't have to be loaded at running back, but Heath seems to like Giovanni Bernard, right? You're the high guy on Gio?
I am, and I absolutely understand the reason for ranking him as lower. His floor is ridiculously low. But his ceiling is higher than the guys that I have ranked above. So he's a boom bust play.
And that's what he's been all year. Week one, 2 fantasy points. This is not PPR.
Right.
Week one, 2. Week two, 15. Week three, 3. So it's a little nerve wracking to go with Gio. Definitely safer in PPR.
All right. Gio or the Ravens guys?
Gio.
Because
absolutely.
Gio or.
The ceiling for the Ravens guys might be 3 points.
Gio or Tevin Coleman?
Coleman.
Coleman.
I think
there's
no way
Tevin Coleman's getting 3 fantasy points.
Well, there is.
Oh, there absolutely is.
Like he's going to have to like a big giant blimp is going to have to come into the stadium.
I don't think we know.
Pick him up with one of those cranes that you see in the arcades and then take him out. That's how he gets.
You're saying Tevin Coleman's a slam dunk against the Panthers?
He's going to get more than 3 fantasy points.
He probably will get more than 3 fantasy points.
I think
Gio will as well.
Andy Dalton or Kirk Cousins?
Cousins.
Cousins.
Andy Dalton or Trevor Siemian?
Dalton, that's not close for me.
I think I'm Trevor Siemian.
All right. And AJ Green, is he the only guy in the passing game you like for the Bengals?
Besides Gio Bernard.
Right.
No, I've Dalton 2 spots in front of the
Bengals defense, not a bad start this week. They are 6th for Jamie. Well, I don't know if we're having a rankings issue, but they're 6th for Jamie, 4th for Dave, and 12th for Heath. So Bengals defense, not bad. All right. A little, I got a couple of team names for you. I'd like to keep it Team Name Tuesday, but Team Name Tuesday Wednesday edition.
So basically, Team Name Tuesday is so wildly unpopular that we're moving it to Wednesday.
You know what? We saw 2 tweets of people, I don't like Team Name Tuesday. Look how many Team Name Tuesday emails we get. People like Team Name Tuesday. And here it is on Wednesday. This is from Russ. Look what you did, you little Jerick.
From Home Alone.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. And Mr. Miner on Twitter, Alfred Blue Apron. Yeah, I like that one.
Right, sure.
That's cool. That's all we got for today. Buy low, sell high. Dave.
You could go with Zeke Geek.
Yeah. Love it.
You know, get our sponsors involved.
Buy low, sell high. Dave's got Amari Cooper and Jamal Charles as buy lows. Jamie also has Jamal Charles as a buy low. Let me start with Jamal Charles at Pittsburgh this week. Are you going to be comfortable starting him if he plays? And then a bye. So is now really the time to buy Jamal Charles?
I hope they do not play him on that crappy field in Pittsburgh and how bad it's been.
Right.
Because that's the last thing you want to see is, hey, he's back. And then, hey, here he goes. Because of he planted the wrong way or something happened. You know, that field.
Yeah, let him play at Oakland on that lovely field after the bye.
But he should have another week to be ready, and they know that he's ready, and he's rested.
Use him between the 40s where the dirt is.
Will he be gone by then?
If he plays, it won't be a lot. Just kind of a prediction.
Do they ever get rid of the dirt? They do, right?
Once the baseball season.
Yeah, I don't know that the turf that they roll over the dirt is really a whole lot better.
They might just spray paint the dirt green.
All right, so Jamal Charles, but still, talk about him as a buy low candidate. What do you expect from him rest of season, Jamal Charles?
Eventually, he'll be back as the lead runner in Kansas City.
And hopefully.
It's based on him being healthy, obviously. And Andy Reid kind of intimated this week that he's purposely been cautious.
He said they're overly cautious.
And bringing him back. They want him for the postseason. And I think just knowing what I know about Andy Reid's offense and the track record of it, once he's got a running back that he fully trusts and who's making plays, he's not going to pull him off the field and make it a 50-50 type of situation. And Spencer Ware has been okay. He had a great week one, and since then it hasn't been great. So I kind of feel like he's living on that week one still.
Oh,
I think once Jamal Charles comes, I think it's worth ponying up a lot for Jamal Charles in comparison to what, you know, what people would think they would have to give to get him.
This is a such a
yeah,
fun,
you should feel bad about
such
yourself.
A fun segment, right?
Well, listen, first of all, would you rather have Jeremy Hill or Jamal Charles rest of season?
I'll say Charles.
Charles. For you.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Like, did you think you made the offer? Were you, like, sleepwalking, like, at 2 in the morning? Like, I see Heath in his pajamas and his little hat, the hat.
I'm not going to make any excuses. I'd much rather have DeMarco Murray than Jamal Charles the rest of the season.
I would, too.
Question. One of the most difficult questions that I was asked yesterday several times was, do I drop Spencer Ware for, you know, somebody good on the waiver wire? And that was a really tough one. I don't...
Can't do it now.
You don't drop him until you see Jamal Charles look like Jamal Charles. Because there's like a 10% chance that Jamal Charles comes back and doesn't trust the knee. And then,
Or he gets hurt again.
Right. But dropping Spencer Ware for Jordan Howard, I know it's a little late. I wish I had brought this up yesterday.
No.
No. I actually got a lot of questions yesterday about D'Angelo Williams. And dropping D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, it's the same situation, right?
Well, I think it's a little different. There's not an injury situation to the same degree. I mean, obviously, Le'Veon's coming back from a knee situation, but everything about him seems to be fine. You know, so it's just a matter of if you're looking at your roster and you're top three or four on waivers and you have the chance to get, whether it was Howard or Dwayne Washington, I keep saying DeAndre Washington, Dwayne Washington, or, you know, even prior, I think it was a tough call for those people. You know, what I kept saying was make whatever lowball offer you have to get D'Angelo Williams to the Le'Veon Bell owner and get something that can help you.
Dave, Amari Cooper was your other buy low.
We haven't seen the best from him yet.
Absolutely agree.
And I know that the numbers have been bad so far and people are like, oh God, he really must not be that good. He had a touchdown called back in week two. He's playing with all sorts of juice right now. And you even saw it in week three. I can't help but think that with all the issues that we see with their run game and how they mix and match these guys, they're just not running the ball as much as they'd want.
Are they having issues with their run game, or are they just not trusting Latavius Murray? Because they've been running the ball pretty well.
It's like 6, 6, and 9, so 21 carries between those three guys on average.
Yeah, but their run team has been great.
But it's not like they're taking the ball out of Derek Carr's hands. And I didn't look it up to see what Derek Carr's pass attempt average is over the first 3 weeks of the season.
And he leads the team in targets this year, Amari.
He's on pace for 1,400
yards. Like, it's all going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. The one concern would be is, and we saw it last year, and we've only seen it one time this year, at least as far as I know, is the lack of red zone targets and the lack of targets inside the 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. And so is he going to take that next step that we're all hoping to see? You know, and will not come until maybe next year when he's entering his third year, and that's when things really click for him.
Well, I will say, Jamie, 2 targets inside the 10-yard line this year for Amari Cooper. That's huge. That's 2 more than he had last year.
Yeah, and that's through 3 games, so that's encouraging. Yeah. So that's the thing you hope to see more moving forward. The problem is that he's now entering the tough part of his schedule. So does that maybe help him with the running game maybe slowing down and the defense not doing what we thought it was going to do, which was improve because they've been awful through 3 games so far? Last week they played well when Del Rio took over some of the play calling. So I just wonder if he can get to the level that we're hoping to see, or is he just kind of a safe number 2, never going to be number 1 type elite? Like, see, and this is a very bad comparison, but it's a guy that we've been hoping to take the next step outside of Heath, is Michael Floyd. Is he going to be that type of guy? You know, just consistently good, just not great.
No. He's already been better than Michael Floyd.
I'm not disagreeing. Okay. I'm just talking about a guy like, you know, we see that there's a ceiling he could break through.
Okay.
And is he going to break through it?
I say he does. And when you say the tougher part of the schedule, I'm looking at it right now. There are five games between now and the end of the year that don't look good for him.
But there are four games that he just
that
got.
That does not include week 17 at Denver.
Right, but there are three games that he's just gone through that he hasn't been fantastic.
Yeah, well, and he one good game in week one against New Orleans, and after that.
Let's move on. I want to talk about some more players here. That's Amari Cooper we're talking about. Doug Martin is a buy low for Jamie.
Absolutely.
He's missing the tough part of his schedule. Denver at Carolina and then a bye. Yeah, so go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. And as long as he's healthy, you know, this was my fear for him coming into the year was last year you had the assumption contract year in front of him. Is he dealing with a minor injury? I'm not saying that this injury is minor. He's going to play through it and try and, you know, battle through to show that he's this tough guy. This was the problem with him the 2 years prior to that was he had these injuries and he sat out and he missed time. And now you saw last week what Charles Sims is capable of. Does Sims take away more work? But I think you got to just look at it and say, if I can get Martin dirt cheap because somebody that's now invested heavily in him, first round pick, second round pick, third round pick, whatever the case may be, that you're trying to get that guy some help and you in turn are taking someone that can help your roster in the next couple weeks.
Right. And like Heath and I have Doug Martin in our crappy Rejects League team and we're 0-3. And we got, like, we should trade Doug Martin because we need a win. So.
Yep. You know, nothing's going to salvage that team.
Take it. Well, every running back, we picked up Jordan, or we tried to pick up Jordan Howard. All of you should be lucky that we didn't, because every running back that we have gets hurt. So we're cursed.
So what would you take for Doug Martin right now?
I would take, gosh, I'm thinking like Frank Gore, Isaiah Crowell, but a little bit better than that.
How about Latavius?
What about LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah, well, definitely, I would definitely take Latavius.
Yep.
What do you think, Heath? Would we take LeGarrette Blount for Doug Martin?
I don't think so.
Would you take Julian
Edelman? We got
to win. We have to win. Our running backs right now are
0-3 is almost the end of season. 0-4, forget about it.
Yeah, we're screwed. And we have Aaron Rodgers on a bye this week. So, I mean,
we're not going to win.
We're in trouble.
Like, we're going to be 0-4.
But why not just start making offers to teams that are in great shape?
I keep offering Odell Beckham. I offered Odell Beckham for Le'Veon Bell.
Well, don't let Heath make the trades.
I will get a deal done.
Yeah, all right. Looking forward to that.
I will get a deal done.
Odell Beckham for Isaiah Crowell coming up next.
I will see if I can trade Odell Beckham for DeMarco Murray.
That wouldn't be that bad for us. You know?
What if you got DeMarco Murray and another receiver?
Yeah, it wouldn't be that bad. We have good receivers. But anyway, all right, Heat's buy low candidates. Jordan Reed and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, Jordan Reed is having an Amari Cooper.
I'm sorry, Jordan Reed and John Brown, not Emmanuel Sanders. I had an Emmanuel Sanders stat in there. That's why I said his name. Jordan Reed and John Brown.
Yeah, I like the fact that you put little tidbits on all these buy low players, except for John Brown. You just leave blank because there's no hope for him actually being a buy low, apparently.
No, I just, what am I going to say? He doesn't really have any stats.
Hey, he had like 11 targets last week.
Yeah,
he had
11
targets last week.
Yes. I'm not calling him not a buy low. I just didn't have anything to say about him.
Let's talk about Jordan Reed first, though. He's basically having the Amari Cooper start to the season. He's on pace for basically the same yardage as last year. He's on pace for 80 catches. He just hasn't scored a touchdown yet. That's not going to last. If the guy that drafted him in the end of the third, start of the fourth is feeling stupid for doing that, then go make him a low offer, and he's going to score the touchdowns for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so Reed had the 6 most targets in the NFL inside the 10 last year. Right now, those are going to Jamison Crowder. It's pretty weird.
But that's not working.
He has 4, and that's 3rd most in the NFL behind Fitzgerald and Emmanuel Sanders. Reed has 1. So that'll probably change, right, Heath? And then the touchdowns will come.
Yes, I would expect that will change, and the touchdowns will come. Now, he's not going to score 11 again, but I don't think we expected him to score 11 again in the first place, did we?
I expect at least 8.
Sure.
He can still get to 8.
He can still get to 8.
Like I said, Jordan Reed had 2 stretches last year where he went 3 straight games without a touchdown, and he still scored 11.
Yeah, that's 3 straight games without a touchdown.
Big this week.
Yes. This trade for him before Sunday.
Would you trade off Doug Martin for him?
That would be a really unique situation where you had plenty of running backs and had a terrible tight end.
But I'm saying for your team, I don't know what your tight end situation is.
Dave, our team's done. I'm not wasting any energy on that team. That team is over.
John Brown, Heath.
Listen, he was back involved in week 3. 11 targets, yeah, it was a blowout effort, but he basically got as many targets as Michael Floyd. And there's a chance that Floyd misses this week. Brown becomes the number 2 again, and he just goes back to what he was last year. And he's available for almost nothing. You can get on the waiver wire in some leagues.
Yeah, he has been dropped in some leagues. In fact, we got an email. I'll go to it now. See if I can find it. It's from Brandon. Brandon is from?
Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, come on with the Topeka, Kansas.
Have I done that too often?
Yes.
Westchester, New York.
Thank you. Hey, John, Larry, and Michael. Cardinals wide receivers.
Oh, yeah.
John Brown was dropped in my league with Fab. How much of my $200 budget would you recommend bidding on him? I have $195 available.
Six.
I was thinking more than that.
How much more?
I would do six. I would do six and $100.
So like 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I don't want him that bad.
All right. Back to the buy lows, sell highs. My buy lows, Eli Manning. He's the number 18 quarterback in fantasy. I think we all pretty much expect him to be top 10-ish rest of season, right?
Hopefully. Eli? I don't think Odell Beckham's going the whole season without catching a touchdown.
Mm. Right, exactly. He's got the seventh most yards in the NFL on the 17th most pass attempts. And the reason the attempts are so low is because they barely had the ball in week one, 28 attempts, but 41 and 38 in the next two games. I don't think the Giants have much faith in their running backs. You might want to wait until after this week's game at Minnesota.
Yes.
But you know, things are going to get better for Eli.
Odell Beckham, more tiers than touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And James White dropped in one of our leagues yesterday.
By us, right?
I don't think he's going to – no, we didn't drop him. I don't think he's going to get Deion Lewis numbers or anything, but he's certainly going to be worth owning when Brady comes back. Agree or disagree?
You know who might get Deion Lewis numbers?
Deion Lewis
when he comes back.
He may not be back till week 9.
It's possible. That's true.
Okay, well, James White, I would pick him up if he got dropped.
I'm sorry, John. I was changing the topic.
I was just going to say that James White might have one or two good games between now and when Deion Lewis comes back.
I'm not interested in him in standard scoring leagues. I will also say that.
I was going to say, just it reminded me of ownership. You know why Adrian Peterson's ownership was so high?
No.
Going into coming out of this week is because Heath and Dave owned him in almost every league and dropped him in so many leagues yesterday. That's why he was at 72%.
I did have him on my bench in one of my
guys
leagues.
Were
and I saw it. I was like, what is this?
So what's he at, 30 now?
I guess so.
All right, so high candidates. Heath says so high on Marvin Jones. We talked about that. Also, Tevin Coleman with this gauntlet, Carolina at Denver at Seattle coming up next.
Yeah, like those are the types of games where I think if anybody's going to have success, it's going to be Freeman, because Tevin Coleman's straightforward attack is probably not going to work against those three defenses. Plus, I mean, the way he's producing is outstanding, but he's not going to keep doing that on 10 to 12 touches a game.
I think Tevin Coleman for Doug Martin is a pretty realistic trade that you could make.
Wouldn't you rather have Martin?
Of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Much rather have Martin.
Yeah.
The thing about Coleman that, and I have him in a couple of leagues and I'm looking to shop him, what happens if Freeman gets hurt?
That's true.
Right.
He becomes a monster.
Great. Yeah.
So it's like, you got to really make, like, I think Coleman for Martin is a fair deal both ways, right? Because you're getting Coleman's production now, which, and you're getting the chance of if he does get the Freeman opportunity, and clearly Martin is the better situation, but it'd be really interesting to see what would happen if he got the full-time work.
I kind of look at Coleman about like Charles Sims. Like right now, Sims has got that job, and he looks very good. When Martin's healthy again, though, I think Sims and Coleman will be worth about the same.
Jamie's sell high candidates are Matt Forte and Frank Gore.
It's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
They're old.
So who would you look to get for Forte or Gore?
Well, Forte, you should probably still get something good because people look at the production and look at his name and think that he's still going to be able to do this. But that work is not sustainable for a guy his age. And again, there's only been two guys in NFL history to go over 1,000 yards rushing after changing teams at the age of 30. So the number suggests it's not sustainable for him to even do that. I would try and get better than Doug Martin.
Would you settle for Alshon Jeffrey?
If I was receiver needy, I would try and do better than that. Because again, you're looking at a guy that's, I think if Forte's healthy, he's still going
to
be good.
But would you accept that? If you try to do better than that and got rejected and then somebody said, I'll give you Alshon for Forte, would you accept that?
No.
No? I feel like I would. Heath,
Dave? I think I would too.
Yep.
Okay. This is interesting. Sterling Shepard, a sell high for Dave.
I think everybody has the opinion that he's let me start over. I think everybody's got the opinion that he's really good, and he is good. He's had 10-plus fantasy points each of these first 3 weeks. We've said it already on the podcast that eventually Odell's going to do his thing. Cruz will have his weeks where he puts up some numbers. I don't know if Sterling Shepard is 10 fantasy points per week. And I think people might even overvalue him if you put him up to offer in trade.
You know what, though?
So, like, in the trade chart, he's not nearly as high as you might think he would be.
I don't know. He's good.
What's encouraging,
I don't disagree. He's in good, but I think you could get more for him.
I think what's encouraging, though, to me, is that he's not putting up his fantasy points on touchdowns. He's got, well, he does have two.
He has two,
but he still has 117 yards in a 73-yard game. You know, like, he hasn't been completely touchdown dependent other than week one. He got 8 targets in week two and 7 in week three, and that's what I expect.
As of now, he's a good number 2 fantasy receiver. Can he keep it up for 16 weeks as a rookie? I think that's tough to ask for. I think he could hit a wall by week 10.
But what do you expect
him
to get in return for him?
Well, I want to at least shop him around and try and sell him high. Like, what do I think is adequate in return for him? I don't know if you can get Jordan Reed for him, but if you can, you should take it quickly.
Right. I think that's pretty realistic.
Right. And I'd rather have Reed.
Yeah. That'd be a good trade.
I'd rather have Doug Martin.
Doug Martin for Sterling. I still have a fear that of Doug Martin that Charles Sims, if Sims does well, it's not going to be good for Doug Martin.
I agree. Especially since as of right now, they're averaging the exact same amount of yards per run. And it's below 3.5.
Yeah. All right. Let's read some emails to finish it off. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. This is from Dario from a city known for cheesesteaks that should be known for soft pretzels.
I would assume that's Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Who would you rather have rest of season, Eddie Lacy or Melvin Gordon?
I'll say Gordon.
I will say Gordon. And that Chris Towers was talking about this yesterday. I think he was writing a sell high piece and he thought Melvin Gordon was a sell high, but then he realized that there was only like 5 running backs he would take for him. And he can't really be a sell high if that's the case.
Yeah. Jay Taylor, rest of season, Jerick McKinnon or Isaiah Crowell?
Crow.
Crowell standard, McKinnon PPR.
I think that's fair.
This is from Marquise. Dear Derek, Amari, and Michael. Those are Raiders.
Oh.
Really, guys? Like, that? These are so easy. I noticed on the rankings that both Jamie and Dave have Charles Sims over Tevin Coleman, and Heath does not. Any chance of discussing your reasons for that decision?
I think Sims has a very difficult matchup this week, more difficult than Coleman's.
I think they both have difficult matchups, and I'm just nervous about Coleman if he doesn't score.
Exactly. There should be as many, if not a few more, touches for Sims in his tough matchup. And he's facing Denver, but Denver's on the road second straight week. Yep. Jamie, you talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay's at home for the second straight week. Wouldn't surprise me if he had the better game than Coleman.
And there's a good track record for him going back to last year. It's now, I think, 4 of 5 games with at least 10 carries where he's gotten you double digits in fantasy points. So when he's involved, he tends to be productive.
Hashtag Damie. All right, this is from Desi in Northern Virginia. Grade the trade. I am the Bell owner. I was offered Fleener and D'Angelo Williams for Theo Riddick in a PPR league. So
take that deal. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay.
All you have to give up is Theo Riddick to handcuff Le'Veon, and you're getting Kobe Fleener?
Well, Theo Riddick.
You have to send an email to strangers?
No, hey, listen. Theo Riddick in PPR, I think he might be the best player in this deal. D'Angelo and Fleener.
I would say he's going to score the most fantasy points.
Yeah. I don't think this is a no-brainer.
This is a no-brainer.
I don't think put it this way. If you weren't the Le'Veon Bell owner, would you give up Riddick for Fleener and D'Angelo?
I would take Fleener for Riddick right now.
Yeah?
Because of the position scarcity. If Fleener comes close to what he did last week, Riddick is not going to come close to what he did week one.
Well, no.
So their best games, I think, it's much more repeatable for Fleener than it is for Riddick.
Okay. This is from Neil in a small town in England.
Nottingham.
Gray the trade. Dear Charles, William, and Harry.
Princes and King.
Yeah, there you go. British Same royalty.
I think just princes, right?
My dad's middle name is Charles.
I give Ryan Matthews and T.Y. Hilton. Ryan Matthews and T.Y. Hilton. I still have Brown, Jordy, and Marvin Jones. I get LeSean McCoy. So give up Ryan Matthews and Hilton for LeSean McCoy. Gray the trade.
You're basically just giving up Hilton for McCoy.
We're really kind of poo-pooing.
Wait, yeah, come on. He's still...
I think he still has some value.
Of course he does.
I would think, though, that if you get the best of McCoy, he's as good as those two guys.
The trade chart has it almost even, but it does favor McCoy a little bit.
I was thinking B-.
Yeah, thank you for grading it. Heath.
I try to follow the rules.
It's a pass.
Always count on you. Last one. Grade the trade from Daniel. Dear Melvin, Rob, and Roger. Part of his trade. Give Melvin Gordon, get Rob Gronkowski, PPR.
I think it works out. I would take Gronk.
Top five pick overall, so you got to get Gronk.
No, I didn't say that. Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait.
We had one more email.
No, yes. We didn't. I can't wait for all the hate I'm gonna get so much crap for the Odell Beckham stuff on Twitter today.
I don't think you are. I think more people probably believe what you say because he's had more splash plays recently.
If it came from anyone other than me, they wouldn't care. But
right. But
are you wearing your Beckham jersey right now?
I am not. And you know what? They're 2-0 when I wear the Beckham jersey, and it was in the laundry on Sunday, and I couldn't wear it. And they're 0-1 when I don't wear it. So that's
why they lost.
The au pair didn't do your laundry?
The au pair did not do my laundry.
She was at the game.
What do we pay her for? She was at the game. Okay. That's it for the show, Dave.
And now it's time for Adam Azer to wrap up this crappy thing.
Wrapping up this crappy thing. What a great Wednesday, a wacky Wednesday show. We had a horrible Heath Cummings trade. We had a lot of Giants talk. Those are always my favorite shows. And we talked about the Thursday night game. I can't wait to break down the AFC home games. This is a bye week, so we have a little more time to talk about the games, which just means more amazing fantasy insight from your favorite fantasy football friends. Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath, and Chris of Fantasy Football Today. That's it for the show. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you Thursday.
Bye.